This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentralMedia.com. Please follow us on social media, Facebook.com/MuslimCentral and Twitter.com/MuslimCentral. Also check out our other websites, MuslimCentralTube.com and MuslimCentralImages.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them and to bless every single one of us. My beloved brothers and sisters, if you notice, I am seated. The reason why I say I'm seated, I recall there was a time when I delivered a lecture during the Ramadan series, one of the years, and I was standing, and perhaps I was a little bit loud. And my dad phoned me that evening and told me, son, I have something to tell you. I heard your lecture live on the radio, and tomorrow you should sit down. So immediately I realized that he understands that this youngster was standing, because I was screaming, I perhaps was yelling, I was a little bit, you know, at that time much younger by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bit more energetic, I think. And so he made sure I sat down. So today, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm seated. So you will notice perhaps a difference in the tone, because believe me, it works. If you ever want someone not to scream and yell and shout, just seat them down. And this takes me straight through to a powerful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding temper and anger. That if you are angry, to calm down from a standing position, sit down. And if you are seated, lie down. Have a bit of water. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. This is knowledge. You learn this, and believe me, you can actually see it. If you are serious about it, you know, normally I was told when I was young, also again by my own father, he says, when you're angry, yes, here is the narration and this is the sunnah and so on, and I want to tell you something, hold water in your mouth. Why hold water in your mouth? Well, try it. Imagine you're angry, you're yelling, next thing you hold water in your mouth. Can you talk? You're basically gagged. So you don't say anything until you calm, then you can sip up that water and talk. Getting on to what we are saying today, mashallah, this beautiful city of Birmingham, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to meet, to spread goodness and to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to know something, my brothers and sisters. An institution of this nature, or institutions of this nature, we need to be proud of. We need to understand that when we have centers that disseminate the beautiful teachings of the deen, it would be a waste of time, money, effort and energy if we do not interact with that institution the way we are supposed to interact with it. Moments ago we spoke about how the football fans will probably be leaving the football stadium the time we leave this place. You could have easily been there. But thank Allah that you are here, by the will of Allah. And let it be this way all the time, where we make the right decisions and we prioritize correctly. We are not saying don't enjoy yourself in this world, but what is being said is, if you'd like to develop your iman, you need to be able to prioritize. If you don't prioritize, how is your iman going to be developed? There will always be different places in your city that will be doing different things, different activities, some of them social, some of them religious, and some of them spiritual, and some of them perhaps educational. You need to know at the moment what is needed desperately for you, and prioritize in a way that it will be of benefit to you as a Muslim to start with, such that if you were to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the same day, you would be proud of the decision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided you to making. And this is why, bottom line, whenever we start talking about iman, we have to start with the word ilm and knowledge. How are you going to develop your iman, and how am I going to develop mine when I've made no effort to learn what it is all about? So there is no point in me saying my iman is strong when I don't even know what iman is. And there is no point in me saying I'm a good Muslim when I don't know what Islam is. And to be very honest, it is your duty, and as time is passing, it's going to become, on one hand, quite easy to access knowledge, but on the other hand, not so easy to access correct knowledge. And this is something that we do always face. You know, there is information, lots of information. If you take a look at Sheikh Google, for example, he has lots of information, but whether it is knowledge and sound knowledge is something that you will definitely need to involve yourself in deeply in order to be able to distinguish. And your iman will drive you, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to pick this up. If you'd like correct knowledge, you need to learn what is taqwa, what is the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be able to achieve the distinguishing or the criterion between right and wrong. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anfal, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. Subhanallah. O you who believe, if you are conscious of Allah, some might translate it as saying if you fear Allah, the idea is to be conscious of Allah such that you stay away from His prohibitions and you engage as best as possible in that which He has commanded and instructed. So if you engage in taqwa, He will give you the ability to distinguish between what is really correct and what is truly wrong. Sometimes the world might say this is right and this is wrong, but to be honest with you, the world can be making a mistake. You know. So if you have taqwa within you, consciousness of Allah, you will definitely be able to truly distinguish between that which is right and that which is wrong. And this is why when I start by talking about taqwa, you take a look at near the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of another very interesting point. He says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Be conscious of Allah and Allah will teach you. Be conscious of Allah and He will teach you. So if you want to learn something, you need to be conscious of Allah and you will achieve the correct knowledge. If you have no consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only will you not be able to prioritize, not only will you not be able to distinguish between right and wrong, but at the same time you will not be able to learn that which is correct in terms of knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and grant us goodness. Knowledge itself, my brothers and sisters, is something that is considered the light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for us. Al-ilmu nurun yudhi'u tariquna. We find some of the scholars have taught us that knowledge is light that lights our path. So you are able to see the path. If I make the dua every single day in salah, and I'm sure you do as well, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. What is that straight path? Do you know? Well, if you would like to know, you need to make an effort. Many of us sometimes say, oh Allah, guide me to the straight path. But we've made no effort to try and learn what is the straight path. What is it? We say, guide us to the straight path. Well, what is it? To be honest, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he says quite clearly, I leave with you two things. For as long as you hold fast upon them or onto them, you will not be led astray. That is the Kitabullahi, which means the Qur'an, wa sunnati, and my sunnah, the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these are the sources of the sharia, the sources of the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for us. We need to know, if we make an effort, we will fall in love with the Qur'an because it has in it the solutions to the problems of my life and yours. Many of us are guilty of something that I would consider major. What is it? Well, let's listen carefully and let's not just take part of what I'm saying. to learn to recite the Quran without learning to understand the Quran. I consider it something that is serious, something major. Major meaning it's a problem. It's something, in fact, we could become sinful because of that. Because Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Are they not going to ponder deeply over the verses of the Quran? In Surah Sa'd, Allah says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. A book that we have revealed, and referring to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a book that we have revealed that is blessed, in order that they may ponder very deeply over its verses, or in order that its verses be pondered over very deeply, and that it may act as a reminder for those with intellect. So, if I were not to make an effort to understand the meanings of the Quran, then definitely I have fallen. I have fallen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, and may He make us from those who understand and realize. Today I received a phone call from someone, and they are quite mature, meaning adults. Adult, I don't know the exact age, but I know that post-marriage. And the person said, you know, I need to study because I need to prepare for a rainy day, because just in case something happens and I'm left on my own and I need to have an income and so on and so forth. And I said, subhanallah, that is a very, very important, and I can see that you are concerned about the future in a correct way. The point I want to raise to you is, you would say the same perhaps, if someone were to tell you that, you know what, I need to get a field where I can work, inshallah, earn a little bit so that I can provide, you know, the day perhaps the person who's providing for me is no longer, or something goes wrong, I can provide for them, and inshallah, let me try and work hard. Is it okay if I do this and do that? And you probably will guide them in that direction. What about the day that we will be meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The day that your wealth, your offspring will not be of any benefit to you, except the person who comes to Allah with what is known as qalbun salim, which is the sound heart. And the sound heart is not a sound heart unless the iman is sound, unless the belief in your own maker is sound, and belief in the unseen is sound, and belief in all the aspects and tenets of belief is sound. That is a sound heart. A mu'min and a believer surrenders to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding that Allah has kept within us a capacity to do things that will benefit us. But after a certain point, He has kept no capacity within us. He chooses what that point is with different people. So sometimes I may have the energy to do something to benefit myself, and sometimes I may not have the energy or the ability to do something to defend myself when it is beyond a certain point. Both times we will call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but both times whatever comes finally, I will surrender to it, and I will say, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is part of my iman. It is part of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did I do? I learned. What did I learn? I learned that this dunya and this world is temporary. That's what I learned. And I did learn that I came from somewhere. I learned that. I came from somewhere. It's not like I just plopped into existence the day I was born. No. That was the day I came into this world. But I was somewhere. The arwah were somewhere. Where exactly, we take precisely what revelation states and we stop there. We do not add or subtract. Why do we always say we do not add or subtract? The reason is, these imaniyat and ghaybiyat, knowledge of the unseen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who informs us. And we know just the amount He has informed. So someone might ask you the details of where was the ruh and what happened exactly. You stop at where the hadith stops, and that's it. So someone says, but give me a few more details. The correct answer would be, well, we don't know more than that. Subhanallah. We don't know more than that. Wal ilmu indallah. The ultimate knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what I do know, I was somewhere, I am somewhere now, and I am heading somewhere. When I die, I believe firmly that there is a life after death. Part of my iman. that will make me work towards it, just like someone who is worried about the few more years that they are going to live in this world. What will happen? How will I pay my rental? How will I perhaps pay my bills and so on? So let me work hard so that I can get a weekly salary, a monthly salary. Believe me, we have a duty unto Allah to work as hard as possible to prepare for the palace of the Akhirah. And part of the payment is your 5 salah. Part of the payment is your proper dress code. Part of the payment is to abandon sin. And I always say there are obligations upon you and there are prohibitions. The obligations are those payments that you are making to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to please Him, in order to worship Him, in order to earn your Jannah, knowing that if you are to leave or abandon your obligations, you would be a sinful person. So say Salah, for example, 5 times a day, mashallah. If you fulfill it, it's your payment to Jannah. But if you leave it, you are actually going to go, may Allah protect us, you are going to get yourself into a debt. Debt meaning, I owe the Salah. That is why we have something known as Qadha. Qadha meaning, if you have, for some valid reason, missed your Salah, you will have to make it up later on. When I say valid reason, I mean that which is mentioned in the hadith, مَنْ نَامَ عَنْ صَلَاتٍ أَوْ نَسِيَهَا فَلْيُصَلِّهَا إِذَا ذَكَرَهَا. Without your calculation, if you have slept over a Salah, when I say without your calculation, what I mean is, you know, early morning, say for example, sunrise is at 6 o'clock, and your clock is set for 7 o'clock, that is a major, major disaster. Major disaster. But if your clock is set for say, 5 o'clock, and you have planned perhaps to get to the masjid or at least to read your salah, something happens and maybe you can't remember having heard the clock and it's already 7 o'clock. As soon as you get up, you immediately, the hadith says, you read your salah by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is your duty unto Allah. You ask Allah's forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So, and another, the other point mentioned in the hadith is, أو نسيها, a person who totally slips his mind. It happens sometimes in the UK where, I'm not looking for excuses for you guys, but I'm just saying, where the weather is so different that the sunrise and sunset between the months sometimes becomes completely opposite. You know, whenever I've come here in the different months, it is quite difficult for me to, you know, to keep up on my own with the times of Salah. I always need the Salah reminder in front of me. I always need my phone to tell me, hey, it's time for Salah. Because if I were to do what I normally do back at home where I come from in Zimbabwe, generally throughout the year, the sunrise is not different by more than one hour. Amazing. I see the guy smiling, subhanallah. And the sunset is also not different by more than an hour. So between 5:30 and 6:30, generally, throughout the year, it's either 5:30 or 6:30 or between there. That's it. Subhanallah. You know, we thank Allah for this because we've seen what some of you may not have seen, mashallah. It's very easy to keep track with the salah. But I would like to, inshallah, assume that you would be getting a greater reward if you make that effort to fulfill the salah exactly on its time, and you make an effort to know exactly what the time is. For me, I need to be reminded when I'm in this part of the world regarding salah, whereas when I'm in some other parts of the world, I don't need a reminder because it's like clockwork by the will of Allah. So perhaps you'd be getting a greater reward. You know, it reminds me of a friend of mine who came in from Madina Munawwara. And he sat in one of the countries where obviously people dress as they please. And he looked at me and he says, you know, the Muslimin here, they are far more pious than those in Medina. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, you know, we always believe the other way around. You know, we always think and we do believe that, subhanAllah, Medina is such a place. If you read your salah and you have the option if you have made it to Masjid al-Nabawi, you're getting a reward multiplied by 1,000. And if you're going into Masjid al-Haram in Makkah al-Mukarramah, multiplied by 100,000. So, mashallah, there is such a great opportunity to achieve so much. So he tells me, no, I notice you don't. I said, what is it? He says, sin is so easily committed in this country, yet you stay away from it. Whereas with us, he is saying, it is very difficult to commit sin and still some people commit it. So thank Allah. Allahu Akbar. If sin is glaring you in the face and you're still abstaining, your level is definitely higher than a person whom sin does not glare him in the face and he's hunting for it. Allahu Akbar. May Allah safeguard us. So, And then I realized that Allah has given opportunities to us across the globe. MashaAllah. Across the globe. Wherever you are, you have opportunity. This is the iman that we're talking about. SubhanAllah. You have belief. You have conviction. Ya Allah, reward me. I may not be able to go to Madinah Munawwara. I may not be able. May Allah take us there. By the way, you better say Ameen.
Ameen.
May Allah take us to Makkatul Mukarramah and grant us the ability to fulfill salah in these masajid that are the best places on earth. Ameen. And may Allah protect that place as well from anyone who intends to harm it in any way. Ameen. So, my brothers and sisters, Allah's blessed us also. There are certain things that we do without realizing getting a reward from Allah. I was saying, fulfill your salah. Sometimes when it's more difficult and you're conscious, you know, the last time I was in the UK and I was just telling Sheikh Saeed a few minutes ago that I don't wish to get into nitty-gritty issues of what affects you locally because I'm not local, to be honest. But what I do recall the last time I was here is there was a question asking whether the time of Salatul Maghrib, Isha, Salatul Fajr, you know, Salatul Isha and Fajr, whether it actually goes into each other at a certain point because of the sunset and so on. And I actually said, you know what, ask your local scholars. Because why? I have not gone into that study, to be honest. And I don't know how many years this must have been studied and what exactly the rulings are. But what I did learn from that entire issue was that, subhanallah, for a person to be able to read Salatul Isha so late and then Salatul Fajr so early and they've got their sleep, I'd like to think perhaps before Isha, after Isha, before Fajr, after Fajr. I don't know how it's spread out. If all that is for the sake of Allah, you're getting a brilliant reward. Brilliant reward. But it requires iman to do that. Because if we don't have iman, we just look for the loophole and say, you know what? I'm just reading my 5 salah in the morning and Allah will forgive me. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. You know, I had a brother who actually came to me and told me a story. In fact, let me mention to you even a better one. My mother told me that one day we had some visitors when I was much younger. And there was a lady who came in. And she was making wudu upon wudu upon wudu upon wudu. And this is a true story. Do not think it's a tale. And my mom says, you know what? What's happening? You know, maybe she had this OCD. Allah grant shifa to all those who have this OCD. Wallahi, it's something that you need to deal with and you need to seek help. OCD, what is it? Obsessive compulsive disorder, where a person keeps on repeating things, they keep on cleaning or they keep on thinking that something is not done properly and keep on repeating it and continuing, you know. It's something that requires help and assistance. Sometimes there is medication for that. In fact, there is. And there is also counseling. But the main thing, you need to help yourself and learn from, you need to have knowledge. May Allah grant us ease and goodness. So, my mother must have thought that this woman's got this problem and issue. So, she began to talk to her saying, and then she realized that no, that wasn't the truth. The truth is, she says, you know, we've got a wedding coming up. And I'm going to be busy for the next 3 days. So I'm just thinking, if I pack up all my wudus, every time one breaks, I've got another one still handy. And we are laughing at it because we have the knowledge. But believe me, there are people who think that. And the same lady thought that it was okay to read the 5 salah in the morning for the rest of the day. And she thought, because I'm going to be busy, let me just read my Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha. And you know, she would read that. And my mother then taught her to say, you know what, it's actually wrong. When I was told the story, my initial reaction was, I think this is actually a lie. Until one day, the same aunt visited us, not my aunt, but I mean, I'm calling her auntie, you know, just out of respect. The same woman visited us and my mother says, that's the woman, if you want to ask her, she now laughs about it. You know, she doesn't mind us mentioning it. It's not riba because you don't know who it was. Okay. But the point being raised is, my brothers and sisters, we definitely need to learn and we need to understand. If you've missed your salah, you need to fulfill it. And if you fulfill it on time, it's a reward that you will achieve. It will enhance your iman. And this is why we say one of the most powerful pillars of Islam is the fact that you fulfill your salah. It's a sign that you have iman, and on top of that, it enhances your iman. It enhances it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us enhancement of our iman, meaning strengthening. We strengthen ourselves in a beautiful way, and we become people who have this conviction within us. We have a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that nobody can rattle, nobody can shake. Because it is solid, it is there. We know whatever Allah does is for the better. Sometimes things appear to be negative, but to be honest with you, they are actually better. I give you one example. Every time I have seen negative publicity about a good person, I've actually noticed some time later that negative publicity about a good person was in fact so positive that it had a positive impact in the long run. And I've noticed this. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but it fits in with so many different people that I have had experiences with. Negative publicity. Someone comes and attacks you and does this and says this unfairly and so on. Sometimes you need to understand. It's in the hands of Allah. Deal with it as best as you can. And sometimes you remember, call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just remain silent. Sometimes. And long term, long run, you will see what is better for you. And this is why in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, and this is regarding some marital issues and so on, but the lesson is for everyone. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Sometimes you dislike something, but it's better for you. Allah knows. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Indeed Allah knows, and you do not know. Subhanallah. Allah knows, you do not know. So, we need to realize that if I am a person who has abstained from sin that is glaring me in my face, I have actually made a payment to paradise that is a bonus over and above my obligations unto Allah. I have actually stayed away from a prohibition that was glaring me in the face. And this goes back to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that by now all of us should be knowing of by heart. The hadith is sab'ah, the seven categories of people that shall be shaded on the day of qiyamah or on the day of judgment, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us through the blessed lips of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the seven categories of people who will achieve that shade, one of them is, he who was called by a woman of a high status and a wealthy woman to commit the sin of adultery or fornication, and the only thing he said is, I fear Allah, I don't want to do this. And the ulama and muhaddithin have explained that this works both ways, meaning vice versa. Either a sister, meaning a female who has turned down something that was glaring her in the face, or a male who has turned down something that was glaring him in the face, and solely for the love of Allah and for the consciousness of Allah and the iman, he says, you know what, I fear Allah. Inni akhafullah. I'm worried about the day I meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is iman. That is belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we say that is a bonus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm going to word it in my own way, sometimes allows certain things to dangle in front of our eyes only to give us an opportunity to get closer to Him. Not realizing that it's dangling in front of our eyes. If we grab it, we get closer to the shaitan. And if we release it, we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to cite a current example that I'm sure most of you must have witnessed on YouTube or WhatsApp. A clip of a Sudanese shepherd. I'm sure you may have seen it. It is current. It's a current example. Look at something dangling in front of him. Wasn't it crucial for that man? To be honest with you, dangling. I'd like to think, and I did think to myself, that subhanallah, may Allah protect us from being in a tough position, but I wonder what I would have done if I was in such a tough position. I obviously, by the will of Allah, we hope we would have done similar. But, you know, sometimes things dangle in front of you. Human nature, or human, let's not say the nature, but the weakness of human beings. Sometimes you find you may dilly-dally. Think for a minute. If you look at the way the man spoke, he did not even want to think about the matter. For him, it was over. This was not a topic he was going to entertain. And look at how Allah rewarded him in the dunya. So much so that I have some information behind the scenes that I can share with you about the same man. Do you want to hear something? Something amazing. It will bring about tears to your eyes. The same man, they went back. They found him. They rewarded him. They gave him not just 200,000 riyals, but so many people gave him so many different amounts that I wonder what it's got up to. And they took an interview. There is a follow-up interview with the same man. If you want to look for it on YouTube, it's about 8-9 minutes. A follow-up interview with the same man. You can search for it. It's in the Arabic language. I'm sure by now, one of us must have put some English, you know, captions by the will of Allah. But it's there. Do you know what the man said behind the scenes? He said, Shabab, speaking to the youngsters. He says, I fear that Allah will contaminate my heart now that you're giving me all this publicity and so on. He says, I don't need all this. Subhanallah. Look at this. The man is saying, and they said, no, we want to teach the world. He said, you cannot teach the world at my expense and at the expense of my belief and my sincerity to Allah. This is now the man. So then they explained to him, and some of the scholars explained, you know, my hairs are standing whilst I'm talking to you. They explained to him, and some of the scholars are trying to tell him, do you know what, subhanAllah, this thing here, it's okay, you're teaching people. But he says, look, the way you guys are making me speak here to say, no, how did you feel? What was it that stopped you? He says, come on, it's Iman, it's my belief in Allah, now keep quiet and get on with it. Subhanallah, take a look at this, a man in the desert, and he's telling you on top of that, he's saying that please don't publicize these things, I don't need this publicity. It might contaminate my sincerity. That is the iman of the individual. What a powerful example. Let's ask ourselves, Allahu Akbar, shouldn't we be learning a lesson that, you know what, sometimes this publicity and popularity and whatever, people want to make you famous because you did something neat and, you know, you did something good and so on. Would we ever think, hey, this is contaminating my sincerity? Well, if we do and we did think of that, then remember that that is the gift of Allah. Because there are people who have nothing. They don't even have shoes. They are walking barefoot in the desert somewhere or in one corner of the poorest countries of Africa. Believe me, sometimes their iman is more solid and more powerful than all of us put together. It's by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah knows where they are, and those are the true friends of Allah. So let's ask ourselves, what have I done to develop this link and this link with Allah, my maker, such that when I go to Him, that qalbun salim and that sound heart that is being spoken about in the Quran that every one of us would like, how have I worked towards it? Am I going to achieve it at some time or not? And to be honest with you, we have been taught very clearly that for as long as a person is concerned about it and working hard to achieving it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward the person with the outcome and not necessarily with the deed itself. Because you know the first hadith in most of the books of hadith where Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu says he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Indeed, all actions shall be judged by their underlying intentions. So if a person really would like to achieve this qalbun salim, and Allah knows that he or she is trying so hard to get to achieving it, and they are trying by learning and by developing the links with the right people and prioritizing and by doing so many other things, like we said just now, learning the meanings of the Quran, because that is the source of that iman by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you die in the process, even if you may not have achieved such a high level, but the fact that you were serious about achieving the higher level by the will of Allah, He will look at you with the eyes of mercy. By the will of Allah, may He look at us all with the eye of mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us from His mercy, and may He open our doors. My brothers and sisters, there are so many live examples that we have. And like I say, we do need to know that we're living in a country, mashallah, where we are free to follow our deen. But the others are free to follow whatever they want. By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will remain steadfast by His help. And remember one thing, and this is something that a lot of the times people don't understand. The same law of the land that allows you to be a practicing Muslim has allowed others to be non-Muslim. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yes. The same law of the land that has allowed you to grow your beard has allowed the others to walk with the miniskirts. The same law of the land that has allowed you to fulfill your obligation unto Allah allows the Satanists to fulfill their obligations unto the devil, according to them. The reason why I say this is because what we have to do is seize the opportunity of the freedom in order to be the best of people, and in order to learn and to become the most exemplary of people, and to use the best methods to disseminate the deen, not only amongst ourselves, but even to the others. Let them see the beauty of Islam. The last 2-3 days, I've been using public transport. And by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've met up with some beautiful people, having had some beautiful discussions. And to be honest with you, there I have seen that it was such a great opportunity, and I will continue using it to interact with people who may perhaps have known the deen from a distance. By the will of Allah, I've had the opportunity to reach out to some Muslims, to be of assistance to some of the elderly, to reach out to non-Muslims, to reach out to people whom I've got no clue what their background is. And I thought to myself, you guys are so lucky, so fortunate, so fortunate. You know what? You have so many opportunities that glare you in the face. Let's not be closed individuals who just think the deen is mine and that's it. And the rest of the people, you know what? They adhabi jahannama khalidina fiha abada. You know? To be honest with you, there is hope for as long as people are alive. And we don't need to be harsh and hard with our tongues, no matter what their background is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us to serve the deen. But it is only the solid iman in the heart that when its sweetness is tasted, that we will want the others to taste that which is similar. And through a good method and a good way, a way that they will want to listen to what you have to say. You know, if you take a look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he speaks of the three qualities in order to taste the sweetness of iman. Let's go through them. There is ample time, mashallah. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. Three qualities, whomsoever they are found in, they will find through that the sweetness of iman. That means iman has a taste. You start enjoying being a mu'min. You enjoy fulfilling your obligations unto Allah. What are these qualities? Subhanallah. أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما. For a person to have Allah and His Rasul more loved and more dear to him or her than anything or anyone else. Nothing material can distract me from Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nothing of any form of value, no person that I love or I hate, will come in the path of myself and my duties unto my Maker, and that to Allah and His Rasul, basically the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who brought the message from the Maker, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So we love Allah, and do you know what? We need to know. When you learn, and you learn deep, and you learn sound knowledge, you will come to realize that there is a difference between paying lip service to the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and really loving him. Because shaitan comes to us and makes us say, do you love the Prophet? Yes, you do. Well, you now need to sing a song. Okay, fair enough. We may sing his praise. But then the life is in a pub and the rest of it is elsewhere. And we're not prepared to follow the sunan. And we're not prepared to follow his teachings. And we're not prepared to even learn about his lifestyle. A lot of us say, you know what? I am Ashiqur Rasul, which means I'm a lover of the Rasul. And you ask him, in which year was he born? And he looks at you and he says, that's besides the point. I'm a lover of the Rasul. What type of love? You don't even know when he was born? Subhanallah. And it's quite easy, you know. It's called Hamul Fil, which means the year of the elephants. And one might ask you, well, what is the year of the elephants? Don't come and say some year in Africa. It's the year when Abraha wanted to come through to destroy the Kaaba with the elephant. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. So the point being raised is, when we say I love Allah and I love His Rasul, it is gauged by something. There is a litmus test, you know. There is a test. You want to know the temperature? I might be able to think, okay, you know what? Well, it's cool. You know, in this room it's quite cool. Subhanallah. What is the temperature? So one might say it's 20 degrees. One might say 23 degrees. So someone in the middle might say it's 30 degrees and so on. If you have a thermometer, you sort your matter. This is what the temperature is. So the love of Allah, how much do you have in terms of love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? There is a gauge. What is that gauge? How much are you following? That's what it is. How much are you adopting? That's the gauge. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, قُلْ إِن كُنتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell them, if you love Allah, then follow me, and Allah will love you, and He will forgive your sins, for indeed He is most forgiving, most merciful. So if you love Allah, what's the gauge? How much do you follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So if a person wants to taste the sweetness of iman, they need to ask themselves, how much do I follow of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And not just that which is convenient for you. You might want to start with that which is convenient for you, yes. But remember, there are others who are following that which might not have been convenient for you, but it is also part of the sunnah. And this is why, you know, I don't like to hear people say, well, it does something to me when someone says, hey, this man is on the sunnah. And I start thinking, you know what? He's on the sunnah. Yes, But we need to understand it's not just something you can just see in the man's life where you've just seen the man today for the first time and you say he's on the sunnah solely because he has a beard and perhaps you know he's wearing a thawb and perhaps you know it is above his ankles, well above the ankles and so on. And you said, you know what, this man is on the sunnah. Hang on, relax, wait. Say, by the will of Allah, we need to learn something from him, but we hope and pray that he is on the sunnah, and so inshallah will we try to be on the sunnah, knowing that. And I was discussing this 3 days ago with someone in an aircraft. And I was they were busy talking to me and we were talking about the deen, a Muslim man. And he was saying, subhanallah, that you know what, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, it's quite easy to follow. And I said, okay, do you know that it takes you a whole lifetime to learn it? Because how many sunan are there? Perhaps 100,000, that's just a thumb suck. There might be more. You know, his whole life was sunnah. Everything was sunnah. So many sunnah. If I've got 20 in my life, mashallah, people will say, wow, you know, this man's got 20 sunnah in his life. But there can be another man who has a totally different 20 altogether. Not even the 20 I have, another 20 altogether. And this is why we say, do not let your outward appearance deceive you that you're a good Muslim. Do not let your outward appearance deceive you that you're a good Muslim. Because how many of us outwardly, we look so pious, mashallah. Your wife is complaining that you're a batterer, a swearer, a liar, a cheat. And you're on the phone whole night with somebody else, a'udhu billah. And every little while you keep on saying, but I can marry her. I can marry her. What's the business of can? You're a man? Go ahead. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. What I'm trying to say here is basically, don't use the leeway of the Sharia to justify a sin when you've not really made use of that ruling. By saying, I can. What's the big deal? We can do everything. The money that a person stole, he could have earned it in a halal way, he can. But he didn't, he stole it. So you don't keep on committing adultery and say, but I can marry if I want. Well, you better want and you better sort your matter out. Either you do it properly or you quit it completely. But the point being raised here is, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance and we try our best, we be steadfast on this beautiful path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down for us. And amazingly, people who are sometimes, and this is a point I'm going to raise and don't read it wrong, we are not discouraging anyone from being outwardly Muslim. But sometimes you find people who might not appear to be so grand in terms of, you know, piety in appearance, but they perhaps respect their parents, they have this consciousness of Allah, perhaps they do not, you know, they are far away from sins like adultery and so on, it's the last thing that would ever come to their minds, and yet there are others who might look a little bit more pious and they are involved in all these things. What we're saying is develop your iman. And this is why iman is something that cannot be seen. Your iman is perhaps felt by people sometimes, but whether you truly believe or not is in the knowledge of Allah. You know, Allah knows. And this is why we say, you know, the pillars of Islam, their actions, you can actually see them. Actions meaning, I've uttered a statement with my mouth, I need to work to prove that. But whether I believe or not in my heart is between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're reading salah, I might see you and say that's a Muslim. When you're giving zakah, I might see you and say that's a Muslim. When you're going for hajj, I might see you and say that's a Muslim. When, for example, you're fasting and abstaining from food in the month of Ramadan, I can perhaps see you and say that's a Muslim. But whether or not you are that Muslim, or you are a mu'min inside, that's only Allah knows. Do you believe in Allah? Do you really believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the final Nabi and so on? Do you really believe in the last day? Because if you and I believe truly in the last day, it would keep us away from sin. It would keep us away from that which would displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us take a lesson and let us learn that this deen is so broad and so powerful, so big, that from the point of birth, going all the way to the point that we leave this world, we will continue learning and putting into practice, correcting what may be incorrect from what we've learned as time passes. And remember, humbleness and humility is a sign of a link with Allah. When a person is arrogant, it's a sign that their link with Allah is weak. It's weak. And this is why one of the narrations says, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ مِّنْ كِبْرٍ. He will not enter paradise in whose heart there is even a little mustard seed's weight worth of pride. What is pride? The hadith says, rejecting the truth and despising people. Despise the people. May Allah protect us. Sometimes you become agitated. Agitated, you know. Yesterday I met a brother. Again, mashallah, the barakah of public transport. I met a brother. And subhanallah, he asked me, oh mashallah, where do you come from and so on. And I told him where I come from and he thought I was telling a lie. So anyway, he looks at me and he just, you know, said, yeah, it's okay. I remember once it happened to me at one of the airports as well, where I met a brother and he was a sheikh from Saudi Arabia. And, you know, meaning a sheikh, meaning a man with a beard. This was in Malaysia. And he was at the counter in Langkawi, flying back to Kuala Lumpur. And he tells me, Ya Sheikh, me when it? I said, well, I'm in Zimbabwe. When to Ya Sheikh, me when? He says, I'm in Zimbabwe, come on. You know, he's asking me, where are you from? I said, I'm from Zimbabwe. I said, what about you, Sheikh? He says, I'm also from Zimbabwe. And I thought, wow, I've never seen this man there, and I don't know. But I didn't want to have sort of one. I thought I gave him the benefit of the doubt. And what happened, we went through security, and finally someone asked me for my passport, and this brother was behind me. And I took out a Zimbabwean passport, and I gave it to this brother to the security, and they looked at it. And that man later on came, he tapped me on my shoulders. He said, Ya Sheikh, please forgive me. I said, why? He said, wallahi, I thought you were telling a lie, so I answered you sarcastically the same way you answered me. He says, but I've just realized you actually told me the truth. So anyway, history repeats itself sometimes. Yesterday, someone else also didn't believe me and they were a little bit agitated with me. And a little while later, they said, Sheikh, the way you're sitting is wrong. What do you mean the way I'm sitting? You know, if you fold your legs this way, people might get a different understanding of who you are. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking to myself, subhanallah, I don't even know. Because I remember the last time once I held a glass, and I held a glass with three fingers. And I was busy drinking water. And this was in the UK as well. And someone told me, Sheikh, you better hold your glass. You know, hold it, please. Just hold it properly. And I said, but why? He says, don't ask questions. Allahu Akbar. So I'm looking at the brother yesterday and I'm telling him, Ya Sheikh, how am I supposed to be sitting? He says, no, you know, you guys, you just think you're a big deal. And then I said, okay, this man here, he needs a bit of help. So I started becoming a little bit agitated within me. And I had it within me to give him a little bit of a, not a mouthful, but half a mouthful at least. But then I thought quickly to myself, no. This is something dangling in front of you and for the sake of Allah, you've got to pass it. Excuse the man. You know, leave him. In the sense that just say, Jazakallah khair, thank you so much, and I appreciate it, you know. And just ask him, okay, how should I sit, and so on. So that's what I did, and mashallah, I learned a lesson. So by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are tested. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts within us. We become agitated sometimes and irritated. But humbleness and dropping yourself down. When I say dropping yourself down, I don't mean that, you know, leaving the truth or dropping or rejecting the truth or, for example, trading that which is valid, you know, truth and so on. No. But what I mean is humbling yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's definitely a sign of elevation in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas a person who's got this despising attitude of people, my fear is perhaps they may, or may I not be from amongst those who falls into the hadith that says the one who has kibr will not enter Jannah. And we know the translation of kibr from another hadith where it is to despise people and reject the truth. Sometimes we despise one another so badly. We wonder, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our shortcomings. Really, develop that iman of yours and learn and come through with it. Let's go through the last two points of that same hadith that I had started speaking about. The one was the love of Allah and His Rasul. And as I said, there is a gauge for it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the hadith says, أَنْ يُحِبَّ الرَّجُلُ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. To love your fellow Muslim for no reason besides the love of Allah, the sake of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love my brother, my brothers, I love you for the sake of Allah. I love you for the sake of Allah. I may never know you personally, but there is a link. There is a link between us. What is that link? It is iman. I have a good vibe. When I say a good vibe, I see you and I have a good feeling. I see the brothers, I have a good feeling. Wallahi, Allah is my witness. When I see a sister in a scarf or in a niqab or in a hijab or trying to be dressed as a Muslim, I try my best to say a little dua for her. Even today I was on a train and I was passing through the various stations and stops, and subhanallah, we had I saw from my little window sisters who were dressed proper Muslim, mashallah. And I said, Ya Allah, you know, help them, guide them, strengthen them, alleviate whatever suffering they have, solve their matters and their problems, let them live as Muslimat, mu'minat, and let them die as that as well. Subhanallah. Why? I don't know them. Some of them may know who I am and they might be hating my guts. Big deal. Subhanallah. So what? We pray for them, excuse them by the will of Allah. The same applies to us, my brothers. We may never know each other personally, but do you feel that love? Do you have that feeling within you to say, you know what, that's my brother in the deen? We may have a few differences as well. We may. You may not agree with 100% of what I say. That does not mean you've rejected revelation. It could be my error. It could be my mistake. So, do we love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we do, remember that is one of the ways of tasting the sweetness of Iman. Love for the sake of Allah. I remember there was a young man, and he came to me. And this happens quite often, to be honest with you. You know, either through the brothers or the sisters and so. And he says, you know what? I've heard a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ says, when you love someone for the sake of Allah, you should tell them. Okay, that's correct. That's valid, right? You love someone for the sake of Allah, you tell them, I love you for the sake of Allah. He says, but there are sisters that I love for the sake of Allah. Does the hadith still apply? You know, I've seen a bunch of questions here. I hope that's not one of the questions, inshallah. Does it still apply? So I said, well, what have you been doing? He says, because I've been going around the sisters and messaging them, I love you for the sake of Allah. I love you for... I said, you know, brother, keep that in the form of a dua or something, you know, that really proves within your... You don't... I would like to think that, start off with the brothers. Tell the brothers, you know, subhanAllah, I love you for the sake of Allah, and let that develop. And as for the sisters, you know what happens sometimes to some of the brothers? They'll send a message, I love you. When they're in trouble, right at the bottom, they put, for the sake of Allah. By the way, you know what I mean? It's like a footnote at the bottom, for the PS, NB, for the sake of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Let's not let shaitan contaminate this love that is for the sake of Allah. Because sometimes it starts off for the sake of Allah, then it becomes for the sake of business, and it becomes for the sake of this and for the sake of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep it primarily for the sake of Allah. And this is why, my brothers and sisters, an important point. It's also one of the imaniyat. When you get to the house of Allah, it's the house of Allah. It's called the house of Allah. It's a masjid. It does not belong to you, nor does it belong to the chairman. Nor does it belong to what they call the waqif, the mutawalli. No, it's the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you enter it, you should feel calm, you should feel welcome, you should feel no pressure, no strain, no negative feelings whatsoever. So if you enter a masjid and you've had these negative feelings, then something needs to happen there. Or let me word it differently. If you are a person who puts pressure on people unduly, hey brother, sorry, you are in the masjid, mashallah, first time seeing you here. My brother, what's your business? You say, no, I'm working for the council. Hey, I need a house. I need this. So brother, the man's going to say, I came to the masjid and look what's happening. People are now calling me to do all sorts of other things. The man says, hey, are you the owner of the shop down the road? I need a discount, my brother. You know, that stuff I bought from there, it's nice, but I just need a few more. But brother, you know, 10%, just 10%. And the brother's thinking, but I've come to the house of Allah. If that shop belonged to a person who was away from the deen completely, perhaps not even following the same deen, would we have even asked the same questions? And this is why, yesterday in London, I was speaking to some brothers and they were telling me, you are right, we prefer to do business with the non-Muslims because they don't ever ask for discounts. And they don't ever come and scrounge and, you know, whinge. And, you know, when I say scrounge, I mean, you know, they come and try and say, okay, but you know this and but you know that. And I'll take this thing, I'll pay half now and I'll pay half a long time ago. If you walk into a non-Muslim shop, I think you would not do that. You just pay it and carry on. How many of you the last time walked into Asda and said, guys, I need a discount for this thing? SubhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. So you need to be a mu'min that makes it easy for others to love you also for the sake of Allah. Don't put undue pressure. And some people have this habit where they ask personal questions. Brother, so how old are you? Oh, so when did you get married? How many kids did you have? And brother, you know what? I see you wearing glasses. What's your numbers, brother? Relax. Come on, man. Oh, brother, are you wearing contact lenses? I just came to the masjid, the house of Allah. Let me have my link relation with Allah. So we have a policy back where I come from at home. You do not ask people all these personal questions. You do not ask them all personal. Assalamu alaikum, my brother. How are you? MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Good to see you. Barakallah feek. And it stops there. SubhanAllah. You have something good to say, something, you know, decent to say, say it. Stops there. And you do not judge people because, SubhanAllah, even if a man was a drunkard and you've seen him at the pub, I'm not going to ask you what you were doing there, but you've seen him at the pub. And you find him in the house of Allah. Perhaps that was Allah who drove him to the masjid. Make dua that you are not driven by the devil to the pub that he came out from. This is why we say, don't give him the dirty looks. You? Here? Today? What happened? No. That's not going to help. Your iman must make you realize Allah owns guidance. Allah guides whomsoever He wishes. And Allah may have brought this man, and definitely he may be on the path of recovery, if not already recovered. And he may have shed tears, warm tears of repentance, whilst we are still busy. In the back of our minds, we have a sin we haven't yet committed, which we're planning, and say, you know what, I'll turn to Allah, but one more thing I need to do. A'udhu billah. May Allah safeguard us from the waswasa of the devil, the whispers of the devil. So this is what, when we say you love someone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the last part of the hadith is أَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ إِلَى الْكُفْرِ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ. Literally that means a person should hate to go back to kufr in the same way that they would hate to be thrown into the fire. And if you want to take a deeper look at the meanings and what it includes, it would mean when Allah has guided you, you should detest and dislike to go back upon the spiritual achievement, religious achievement that you have. Say for example, and I'm going to give you a realistic example. You know, we live in a real world where we have issues and problems. Say there is a person who only reads 3 salah a day. Now, you and I know that that's not good enough. Am I right? From 3, they shifted to 4. And they're still finding it a little bit difficult to read the 5th one. You and I know it's not good enough. But I want to ask you a realistic question. Has there been an improvement or not? There's been an improvement. So if we were to find a brother and say, you know what brother, you're going to nari jahannama khalidan fiha because man taraka salata muta'ammidan faqad kafar. And there's so many ahadith that we can rattle out. The thing is, the man is still alive. We need to guide him. There are ways of guiding him. MashaAllah, he's increased. You can see he's coming to the masjid. We just need to create some form of a platform within our minds to be able to get the man onto it and to encourage him in a beautiful way to read that salah, bearing in mind that he needs a balance between hope and fear. Too much of one is not healthy. You need a balance of it. If someone is so hopeful, they commit sins and they say, "Inna Allah ghafur rahim." Inna Allah ghafur rahim. Anytime a man is drinking or adultery or pornography or whatever else it is, and you ask him, or you are in his company, or should I say, maybe one day you happen to be with him, and you say, "My brother, you know these are bad habits." He says, "Inna Allah ghafur rahim." Indeed, Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Like that's the verse of the Quran he's memorized. Too much of hope is dangerous. Obviously, we are all very hopeful, but what I mean is that which is negative. That which leads you to negativity. It makes you do things intentionally and you're still banking on the fact that Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. No. Same applies. When a person believes that, you know what, I'm going to hellfire, it's over and I'm doomed. This is why we say, when you're talking to people, use a bit of wisdom. Give them hope and remind them, hey, Allah's warned you as well. Subhanallah. Because I have come across a certain brother, again, who came to me and told me, you know what, I went to XY Masjid. And there was a wife there giving a talk, meaning a man giving a sermon, and he doomed us all. You are going to hell, or you're going to burn for everything. You know this, nobody, Jannah is not accessible to the people. You have to go through Jahannam, and there's going to be this, and you're going to cross through the bridge, and you're going to drop into the hellfire, and you're going to burn and burn and burn, and so on and so forth. And subhanallah, remember, this brother tells me, I feel like I'm useless. I feel like I don't even want to pray anymore because as it is, I'm going to hell. As it is, you know, I'm doomed. I've committed so many sins, I don't even know. It reminded me immediately of the hadith of the man who had murdered 99 people and he comes to say, is there any forgiveness for me? Subhanallah. My brothers and sisters, the door of tawbah is open. The door of repentance is open right here, right now, and shall be open until the gharghara comes to you, which is the point of death. It is open. So do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Never ever lose hope in His mercy. And you need to know that little cord of fear that you have within you should lead you to Allah together with the hope that you have within you that may be a lot. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. So to go back on your religious achievements or spiritual achievements, you should detest. For this brother to have moved from 3 to 4 salah, we will say he solved a lot of his problem. Small bit left. The day he gets to 5, mashallah, he has arrived at the bare minimum by the will of Allah. Now he can increase in his sunan and in his tahajjud and everything else. But if he goes back from 3 to 2 to 1, that is what we're mentioning in the hadith. How will he taste the sweetness of iman? Let me give you another typical example. And I've given this example many times, but it's applicable here for us. A sister, for example, And people always ask, you know, what is farad and what do you have to do? We all know the duties we have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we're weak. So you have a sister, for example, who might be exposing her legs. And she's a Muslim sister. And suddenly she realizes, you know what, it's not correct for me to expose my legs and to expose my hair. So she starts off, she covers her legs. But unfortunately, she covers her legs with something that's very tight. Now, you and I know that what she's done, is it better than where she was or is it worse? Let's be honest. Is it better or worse? And don't be shy to answer. Nobody's going to hold it against you. Obviously, we're talking of reality. Person who was exposing themselves, now they're covering themselves, but the material is a little bit tight. Don't you agree with me that there has been some improvement here? There has. We have to acknowledge, if it's my own sister, and they are my sisters, to be honest with you, in the deen. And this is why we're concerned about them. We cannot just say, doom, jahannam. There was a brother, subhanallah, and I was in his company once. We were walking, let's not say which city it was. Every time we walk past a sister who's uncovered or who's not covered properly, he says, jahannam, and he carries on walking. Next thing, jahannam, and he walks. And I'm like, are you the gatekeeper of jahannam? I remember this quite, you know, vividly. And this is what drove me to mentioning the reality that, look, my sister, ideally, you know where you're supposed to be. You know where you're supposed to be. If your weakness has not allowed you to get up to that stage, you know, immediately, then at least start moving in that direction by the will of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you have a person from that stage, they've got to, for example, wearing a cloak, an outer garment, mashallah, tabarakallah. What will you say? They've achieved something grand and great by the will of Allah. They will be able to slowly start tasting the sweetness of Iman, because within themselves they feel that link with Allah. Every inch that we walk towards Allah, Allah walks, or Allah rushes to us even quicker. You know, man atani yamshi ataytuhu harwala. This is a powerful hadith, and it goes on and on, where the Prophet ﷺ tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, whoever comes to me a hand span, I come to him a whole foot. And whoever comes to me a foot, I come to him more. Whoever comes to me walking, I come to him rushing. So every time you are getting closer to Allah, Allah comes closer to you than you are getting to him. Subhanallah, that's the mercy of Allah. That's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is dangerous is when you are distancing yourself from Allah. This is where the hadith of sweetness of Iman comes in. Imagine a person who is wearing a cloak and suddenly they've abandoned it. They've abandoned it. And a person who covered their body and suddenly they've taken it out. A person who used to get up for Salatul Fajr and suddenly it's no longer there. That is what we should be more worried about by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah strengthen us and may He grant us goodness, my brothers and sisters. It's been an absolute honor to be seated in front of you, given the opportunity to share a few words with you and to be here to say, inshallah, words of goodness. I ask Allah to grant me benefit from what I've said and yourselves as well. I've just realized the hour is up. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our doors, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have motivated us in one way or another, starting with myself and then everyone else. Whatever I have said that is correct is definitely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance, and the mistakes I've made are from myself and shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.